Teachers Talking Tech is sponsored in part by StartDot, a handwriting app and online resource for teachers and children. Learn more at startdothandwriting.com.
Welcome back to Teachers Talking Tech. We're back with part two of our interview with Paul Solars. Hope you enjoy it.
The idea of the pirate acronym and the crow's nest, which is kind of this idea that if you picture the pirate ship, you're the captain of the ship, but you are up in the crow's nest observing and then coming down and letting your crew basically know your feedback on what you've been seeing, rather than being on the deck, so to speak, and just telling them everything that they need to be doing. I think that's just such a great way to look at that.
Yeah, that worked out really well, you know, being a pirate book. You know, it's true, though. I do feel oftentimes that something that I have to consciously do is get out of their way. You know, I need to go climb up into the crow's nest and let them do what they need to do. Because the more I hover or the more I'm nearby, the more they're kind of performing for you, and then they're going to ask questions if you're right there. And, you know, but if you kind of get out of their way and you look a little busy, you know, then they kind of leave you alone because they know that you've told them, now I want you to do the following things. Ask each other if you need help. You know, in our classroom, there's really no cheating. You can look on each other's paper nearly all the time. If we're writing something, you can look on each other's computer nearly all the time. If we're typing something, you can ask questions all the time. There's very rarely a time when you can't speak to someone. So talk it up, you know, ask people questions. And if the people around you can't figure it out, do a give me five and see if someone else in the room who's farther away from you can help you, you know. And that I love. If I'm right next to them, they're just going to ask me. And I, to be honest with you, I'm a teacher who enjoys telling them the answer. You know, it just goes against my philosophy. So, you know, I love when I know an answer, just like anybody. It's nice to feel intelligent and be able to help kids. My belief is that they learn better if they're figuring it out on their own or collaboratively versus, you know, going to adults for everything. So,
for sure.
I know that at the end of the year, I get to witness, you know, how much they can do without the teacher. I have subs who come in and say, there was no reason why you needed me here today. You know, your kids, they saw the schedule, they knew where the materials were, they would have just done it without me anyway. So, you know, that kind of thing is what I strive for. And, you know, I think there's a value in that because that's transferable. Even if it's not going to happen in the next grade level, it's going to happen in life that they're going to be able to make decisions better.
For sure. And Mike and I have talked about that when, you know, things like Genius Hour, things that we've been doing in our classrooms. You know, we know that as they go on to the next grades, that we are setting them up with that confidence and new experiences. They're going to have that confidence later on to try new things that they would have never done if it had just been us telling them what to do.
And not right, yeah, that traditional classroom, right.
Yeah. And, you know, we're in a similar situation to you, Paul, in that I know I remember from your book you'd said that kind of one of the things that got you going here was you were getting these kids ready for middle school. Right,
yep.
That you wanted to make sure that they were prepared for middle school. And we are similar in that we teach second grade, but in third grade, they go to a whole new school for three through five.
Sure.
So even though we have younger kids, and for anybody out there listening that's like, I don't know if I could do this with younger kids, you definitely can. You have to, you know, tweak it a bit one way or the other. You know, younger kids need a lot more feedback just because they don't have as much life experience. But, you know, I feel like if I went to all the third grade teachers and said, hey, would you like my kids to know more things, you know, or know more facts? Or would you like them to be more collaborative? Would you like them to be more independent? We all know what they would say.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah. So I
Those
feel
are the skills that they've been lacking. Yeah,
exactly. Right. Exactly. And I feel like that is such a big deal when you're thinking about how you're preparing kids for the future. And that giving them these soft skills, they're usable in any field and in any situation.
Exactly. So, that's right.
All right. So let's get back to the 21st century skills. We've been talking about this in our podcast and in ways that we can assess things like, okay, so you're doing Genius Hour or you're doing Makerspace or some kind of a project-based learning. And sometimes those don't fit into your standard report card. So can you tell us a bit more about just your thoughts on growth mindset and how you assess those things?
Yeah, sure. You know, I have to tell you that I have gone back and forth on how to assess it because, again, I'm kind of a grades-free classroom. So the idea of assessment to me is just like judging if they're doing well or poorly and giving feedback on that. Reporting out is a whole another issue. You know, telling parents what I see for 34 skills isn't easy to do in my anecdotal world where I just kind of tell kids what they need to work on and keep track of what they're doing well. So I have to kind of quantify it. But at the same time, I don't ever want the quantified numbers to mean anything to parents where they were disappointed or upset or feeling like their kid had nothing left to learn. So I've created a system that's not foolproof and not every parent understands it. So that's part of the problem, but I do report out and it comes with a guide that explains it. So most parents who don't understand it honestly say, I never read the scoring guide. So, you know, once they read the scoring guide, they do understand it. But the idea is that all 34 categories has a score out of 10. In the fall trimester, it's actually only out of 8 because that shows growth mindset. The idea that in the winter, it'll be out of 9 and in the spring, it'll be out of 10. So if you're achieving an 8 out of 8 today, you could potentially stay at an 8 out of 9 and 8 out of 10 as the year goes on, or you can continue to grow with our expectations and become a 9 out of 9 and a 10 out of 10. So that shows the top end and it shows a growth mindset and that I want kids to continue to grow. I don't want to just give them a 10 out of 10 on the first trimester and then show them later that they're at a 9 or an 8. That shows regression almost, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I want to show that some of us are growing, some of us aren't growing at the speed in which I want them to, some of us are growing further or faster. So that's the top end. And how I do this, it sounds so arbitrary, but it's not at all. So I just graded them out of 8 for each category. And what I did was I looked down my list of students and I read the objectives. So the first one is communicates clearly. And I have 4 behaviors that I'm supposed to look for in my students to address if they're communicating clearly. And it goes from articulating thoughts and ideas effectively using oral, written, nonverbal communication skills. The second bullet's listening effectively to decipher meaning. Third bullet's using communication for a range of purposes like to inform, instruct, motivate, or persuade. And then number 4 is communicating effectively in all kinds of environments. So that's kind of gobbledygook, but the point is that I'm going to be looking for these behaviors in my students. And so I've got those 4 in my mind right now, and I go through my class list and I say, now which students are doing that at the highest level in our class right now? So who are going to be my 8s for this category? And do I have any 8s, you know, right at the moment? And I go through and I score all the 8s, and then I notice some are fringe. So are they a 7 or an 8? And I go ahead and give 7s and 8s out. Then I go, who else are 7s who are going to be fringe to 6? You know, and I go down until I get my last kid. Sometimes my last kid is a 6 or a 5. Sometimes my last kid's a 4 or a 3. Very rarely are they actually a 4 or a 3, for the record. And what I do is I actually give a ranking system. So if you're 7 or above, you're considered advanced. So for me, an 8 and a 7 are both considered advanced. Mm-hmm. For a 6, you'd be proficient. A 5, you'd be average. A 4, you'd be developing. And anything below a 4, I consider just below average, you know, as far as feedback goes to the parents. But mm-hmm. my ultimate goal is that they look at these and they say, what are my relative strengths and what are my relative weaknesses? Where am I 6, 7s, and 8s that I can be proud of? And where am I maybe 3s, 4s, and 5s, which there aren't a bunch. But, you know, some kids would be able to look at that and say, I'm going to make goals with those. And then we actually do goal setting. So tomorrow is the day they get the report cards. We're spending 3 hours in class opening up our report cards, which is not something my district encourages. And we're going to be analyzing the report card, the 21st century report card. We're setting goals for our next trimester that are actually written out sheets that go into their binders that we reflect on every week. We track evidence towards those goals. They know they can't consider a goal accomplished until they collect several bits of evidence that shows that they're in the right path, you know, and that they won't regress in any way, you know, necessarily. And then we do that for the next trimester until I give them another report card, which has their growth, you know, hopefully in all the areas. And we do it all again one more time. So we only do it twice a year, but they know through the first trimester what we've been working on. Now I explain all the behaviors I'm looking for and we self-assess.
Yeah, I love that you go through report cards with your kids. You know, right. I never thought about it like that. When you send home report cards to parents, you know, I remember as a kid hating that. You know, you feel like is this about me?
Right.
And I totally love that. And, you know, this is my first year of trying the 21st Century Skills Report Card in my classroom. And I can say I took, you know, and by the way, we'll get to where you have some resources for people with some of these things. But I took your 21st Century Skills Report Card and just pared it down to about six different strands and skills within those. For second grade. And I went through them at conferences with parents and told them what I'm looking for and things like that so they'd understand. But I love the idea of sitting down with kids. And I mean, because what it really is a profile of their strengths and things they need to make goals.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I really like, too, that once you've set those goals, you ask them to start collecting the data, to start collecting artifacts or whatever, showing what they're doing to progress towards those sevens, eights, and nines.
Absolutely. Yeah. And they actually, before they get to see their own grade from me, they take the scoring guide out. I have that little blue bar across, if you guys have seen it. It's a scale rating where they can kind of put their own dot where they think it goes. So it'll be a 1 through a 10. And I tell them the 8's the biggest that they can get. So they self-score them. They self-assess themselves before they see my grade. And what we do is as we read all those behaviors, which can be dry and boring, and it's way overkill, but 34 is too many. I know that, but I don't want to drop it because I don't know what's most important yet, and I'm not willing to do that just yet. I want my kids working on all of them. But what we do is we highlight one behavior for every skill that we think that Mr. Solars maybe hasn't seen much from ourselves. So you know, I'll try to explain the ones that are kind of confusing because it's not written in child-friendly language. But you know, they'll highlight the ones that they want to basically say, I need to show Mr. Solars that more often. So then if I give them a 5 on that skill and they gave themselves an 8, they're not hating me for giving them such a lower grade compared to them. They're saying, well, yeah, how could he have given me an 8 when he's never seen this skill or this behavior that I've highlighted? You know, I need to make sure he sees that. So we talk about it. It's not a personal thing, this grade. It's just a way of saying, make sure you're showing me all this evidence, you know?
So when you first assess the students on the 21st century skills, this time of year, this first trimester, it's basically observational, most of it?
Yeah, I'd say it's probably all observational, but I mean, you know, I mean, I can use work samples in my mind that I've graded and that I've given feedback on or whatever, but I'm not, they're not in front of me when I'm grading them. Right.
Gotcha.
But I only have 23 students. You know, a middle school teacher might do it differently, or, you know, someone like an art teacher or a music teacher might do it differently. 23, I would say by this time of year, I have a good grasp of it. You know, if you'd asked me to do this 4 weeks ago, it might have been harder, you know?
So yeah, you know your students well at this point, right?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
So what's been the reaction from parents' administration as you've, you know, gone through this process?
So there have been people who are, you know, within the education world who absolutely love it and think that it's a great step in the right direction, and that they hope, you know, that report cards could start to look a little bit like this, where we start to acknowledge these skills rather than always just focusing in on academic talents. And then there are people who, you know, don't know what to do with it because it's not written in the friendliest of languages yet. You know, I'd like to think of it as an early draft that's going to improve over time. You know, they don't know exactly what to do. So at conferences, you know, I'll always take them through their regular report card, but tell them, you know, in my world, effort and how they respond to feedback is going to be more important to me than the academic grade that they receive. And we're not standards based yet. We're going there next year, but I break down all of my grades by standards based type things. I don't go by standard all the time, but I break it down by maybe the assessments in math or the comprehension and fluency scores in reading or whatever, so that they can see where kids are in different subjects. But, you know, I say that those are important, but that these 34 21st century skills that I also assess them on are things that can be transferred, you know, from grade level to grade level and used in life. But that they need to be understood based on the observable behaviors. Cause you know, one of them that's gotten parents before is, something about finding humor. I'm looking for it now, but something about, finding humor in appropriate situations is one of them. And if a kid gets like a 5 in that, they'll be like, my kid is hilarious. Why would you grade him down in that? And, you know, and they're not challenging me so much as they're just confused. And I'm like, well, let's read the behaviors that really means. It means being able to laugh catch yourself when you make a mistake. It means being able to take an unfortunate situation and turn it into a positive. You know, like these kinds of ways of finding humor don't just mean telling jokes or laughing at, you know, at funny situations. So once we read the behaviors, they're like, oh, I totally get that. Yeah, he can't do that at all, you know, or whatever, you know. It's the behaviors are what matter. The title is sometimes lacking in description. So,
okay.
But most parents are appreciative of the efforts.
Paul, what type of technology tools do you use to help assess or to do your projects in your classroom?
Well, you know, we are a Mac school. We have carts of Macs. So the kids use carts of Macs. I have my own Thunder Mac, we call them. It's just a personal Macintosh. We use all kinds of technology. When it comes directly to assessment, I don't use anything special other than, you know, we're a Google Apps for Education district as well. So, you know, I use Google Docs for a lot of things to be able to work on their writing right now at home, you know, when they're not in school at the moment. I can give feedback that way. I can I use Google Classroom to distribute certain files in their Google Drive. So recently we've been doing a lot of that. But I pretty much just keep my scores in EasyGrade Pro, which is just a simple, it's very old, a simple grade book that's not online. It's just a tech, it's just a tech tool. And we use PowerSchool, but we don't have to keep that published for people to use. So typically, you know, we're using Google for most things and Mac for most things is really the answer to that.
Okay. So it's, you know, it's like most innovation, tech can help, but it's not going to be the only driving force in how you innovate.
Yeah, no, exactly. You're exactly right. We only use it when it's the best tool for the job.
So at this point, I wanted to let our listeners in on some resources that you have, if they want to learn more, where they can find your book, some different things like that.
Sure. You know, if you go to learnlikeapirate.com, that's going to have most of the resources for the book. The book itself has QR codes littered throughout it. I want to say there's something like 60 of them in there that'll take you to blog posts and examples of students doing things. It may be videos and photos. And then if you wanted to check out any of our student examples that are current, you can go to paulsolars.weebly.com. That's our classroom website. And if you go to their e-portfolios, you can see what kids are doing in class. Like, for example, today we learned about digestion by putting some meat tenderizer in Jell-O and having it go through a coffee filter versus Jell-O that didn't have meat tenderizer and how it didn't go through the coffee filter. And that showed how the enzymes break down the proteins just like digestion does. And that prompted our discussion. So kids took pictures and they answered questions on their e-portfolio. And you can see what they did today by looking right online at their work. You can also go to psolars.weebly.com, which was my older classroom website. And if you go under educators, there's going to be a lot of resources under the 21st Century Education tab and 21st Century Assessment. You can find the 21st Century Skills Report Card, which is a PDF, and you can download it. Everything that I create is always free. You never have to give credit unless you're using it for, you know, to get paid in some sort of way. But just please use it and change it and modify it for your use. And I appreciate when you're able to share it back with me because I'm able to learn through you, you know, what you're able to do. So I for sure would love to see, you know, what you were able to do for your second graders. If you're ever willing to see those kinds of things that are always interesting to me, and I mean, just making it a little more student friendly is something I'm trying to do. So if anybody's ever able to do that, that would be appreciative.
Yeah, I'm with you that this is my first year of doing the 21st Century Skills Report Card, and it has to be kind of a living, breathing document that you're willing to change. And I even told my parents this year that, hey, I need your help and your feedback to let me know what's going to let you know about your child's growth. Well, great. And I'll make sure that we put some links on our Facebook page for people that want to link and learn more or download any of the things that you have for them. So fantastic. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Paul.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Eric. Thanks,
yeah.
Mike.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And I'll tell anybody out there that not only is Learn Like a Pirate a great read, it really did change a lot of the ways I did things in my classroom for the better. And I would be happy to tell you, Paul, that you know, after 13 years of teaching, last year I had more positive feedback from parents on what they saw in growth in their students in multiple ways beyond academic. I just had so many compliments, and I really owe a lot of that to just reading your book and being reinvigorated in how I teach. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you. That's fantastic. And honestly, you know, anybody who's going out and reading books and going on social media, trying these things, you know, you're out there trying to find ways to improve your craft. And, you know, that's really all we can ask teachers to do is just keep looking for ways to improve. It doesn't have to be a certain thing. You don't have to make a student-led classroom. You know, you can do what you can do something else. But the act of wanting to improve is always going to be what makes us a better teacher. And, you know, I did my national board certification, and reflecting on my teaching practices, that's one thing that spurred me to try to even do better in my classroom. So, you know, I think just reflecting and trying to change is what we all need to constantly remember.
All right, hopefully you enjoyed that two-part interview with Paul Solars. If you would like to purchase his book, it's called Learn Like a Pirate, and it's available from his website on Amazon, and we really highly recommend
it. Highly recommend it, yes.
Yeah, it's really great. Well, thank you again for listening to us. Check us out on Facebook. I put all the links on this podcast, so you can link to Paul or to our emails and check out more. And until next time, I'm Eric Robinson.
I'm Mike Brown.
See ya.